Welcome back to Agents of Providence. I am Doyle Burbank Williams, the pastor for New Visions United Methodist in Lincoln, Nebraska. I hope you had the kind of Easter that lets you experience a little bit of new life, even as the days here finally begin to warm and the sun is shining and all of the shoots and blossoms are racing toward the sun itself. We are here talking about ways, practical ways, that we can practice our faith. I don't know that that's exactly the way I wanted to say it, but that we make a difference in the world. That faith is not a matter of gazing toward the heavens, but it is looking around us to find ways that we can bring hope and peace and joy to the world around us where it needs it so much. This week, we are talking about those things that we share that connect us. And we're going to be using some of the stories of that early community who experienced the risen Jesus and what that experience, how that experience connected them, formed a community, and from that community began to change the world. So stay with us here as we explore one of those early resurrection stories, the encounter that the Apostle Peter had with the risen Christ. Thank you for joining us. We'll be right back. The episode that we're listening to comes from John's Gospel in the 21st chapter, verses 15 through 19. And this is one of those kind of unique stories to John's Gospel. Unique because it doesn't show up anywhere else. Unique also because this is a rather personal encounter, a one-on-one encounter with the risen Christ instead of the entire community. So, excuse me. This is how John writes it. When they were finished eating, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Jesus asked a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep." Jesus asked a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was sad that Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he replied, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. I assure you that when you were younger, you tied your own belt and walked around wherever you wanted. When you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and another will tie your belt and lead you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to show the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. After saying this, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." May we hear what the Spirit is saying to us today in these ancient words. Now, commentators assume that since the post-resurrection Jesus asks Peter three times if he loved him, that this must be connected to Peter's three denials at the time of Jesus' trial. Many see this episode as Jesus reaching out to Peter, offering forgiveness and healing. None of the Gospels give us a glimpse of Peter's inner dialogue. We're told he wept bitterly when his denials were exposed. We don't know for sure whether he continued to carry guilt or remorse into this post-resurrection life. Now, it would make sense to us that he would. After all, many of us are experts at hanging on to guilt and remorse far longer than is necessary or even helpful. For a lot of us, it doesn't even take something as devastating as denying our Savior to feel guilty. Some of us still remember the stupid things said in seventh grade, likely things that the person we said them to doesn't even remember. This interpretation of the encounter between Jesus and Peter feels true, whether or not that was the gospel writer's original intent. Sometimes the Spirit opens those ancient words to us in surprising and unexpected ways. It makes sense to us because even the most well-adjusted of us carries around some brokenness, some sense of failure buried deep within our consciousness. As much as human beings share this experience of brokenness, I think we also share a longing for healing, for forgiveness. That longing is why this little encounter makes sense to us. We want Jesus to reaffirm our worthiness, our acceptance. Yes, Jesus, we love you. Do you still love us? That Jesus still loves and values Peter is made plain by Jesus' continuing need for Peter's work and ministry. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep, Jesus says. We hear a lot about the supposed cancel culture these days that deletes people after just a minor gaffe. Long before that phrase was coined, there were churches, though, who were pretty good at practicing it. Everyone put on the facade of perfection because anything short of perfection was cause for ejection from the fellowship. Of course, the fallacy of this practice is that none of us are perfect. And in fact, all of us are in some way broken. Trying to wear the mask of being perfect is only biding time until the mask slips and the truth is laid bare. Jesus knew Peter was anything but perfect. In fact, it seems he knew full well that the one he named the Rock was prone to continual messing up. But he called him anyway. And he said this prince of messing up was the rock on which the church would be built. The church was never intended to be a perfect place. It was to be a haven of the broken and error-prone. And that's why, I suppose, Jesus had this conversation with Peter, to make clear that he was still loved and wanted and valued. Now, we had a troubled young man in one of my congregations. He had spent time in the juvenile detention center. School was an occasional effort at best. One time I found him sleeping in the youth room. He'd had a fight with his mother and stormed out. He broke into the church because he didn't know where else to go. And while we couldn't let him stay permanently in the church, I think he did have the right sense of things. Some congregations would have been upset at the damage he caused breaking in, or his run-ins with legal authorities, or his ongoing mental health and addiction issues. But this little church surrounded him with grace and patience. He really didn't straighten his life out until a few years after he moved away, but I believe that little church laid the foundation for his healing by never expecting perfection from him. I saw an Irish proverb recently that says, "It is in the shelter of each other that people live." It was in the shelter of Jesus' love and acceptance that Peter came to live. When we who follow Jesus form communities, I pray that they're the kind that offers shelter. It is not our pretend version of perfection that brings things together. It is the brokenness and imperfection we share and the healing forgiveness offered that connects us inseparably. all of us. Every faith community is made up of those who have denied or betrayed or just been thoughtless and insensitive. When we truly experience Christ in our midst, we hear the invitation, "Feed my lambs." It is my experience that New Visions is this sheltering, connecting kind of place. True, like us as individuals, we as a community will fail and break. But I've experienced my own self, this sense of connection, forgiveness, and healing that is offered and found when we sincerely follow Christ. It's not perfection that brings us together. It is Christ that connects us, shelters us, and keeps us. And maybe that is what resurrection is all about. Here are some questions to ponder. Have you ever been afraid to be honest about your imperfections? Has this ever been in a faith setting? When have you experienced real acceptance of all your imperfections? How can we offer that shelter to each other? And how can we offer it to our neighbors? Thanks for joining me one more time here on Agents of Providence. I am Doyle Burbank Williams. I hope that you have places where you experience that kind of sheltering love that brings you back to life. If you've got any comments, any questions, I hope that you would extend the conversation in the comments down there and share these thoughts with others that you think might find them helpful. May the sun shine on your life, even if it's a blustery day. Take care.